There are times when you read something in the Bible and you read a story that's there and it really jumps out at you and you learn some things from it. And then you're kind of left with, what's the end of the story with that? Anybody ever run into that? Particularly when you're reading Old Testament scriptures, you kind of go, I wonder whatever happened to that person. Well, today we're going to tell you what happened to that person. How about that? You going to be happy about that? Yes, sir. All right. Beautiful. Thank you, Silas. All right. Thank you. So today, this morning, we're going to go to Joshua chapter 14. We're going to begin at verse 6. But before we go there, I want to give you the beginning of the story, because this is going to be the partially end of the story. So I want to kind of give you a recap on this. Most of you have heard of Joshua and Caleb. Okay, say yes. Okay, thank you. All right, beautiful. We've actually just studied Joshua and Caleb in our Bible study recently. So for those that already read this, part of the beginning of the story, we're going to give you the ending of the story, so to speak. In Numbers chapter 13 and 14, we read of the story where Moses goes to the Israelite, the 12 tribes, and he wants to have them go spy out the land of the promised land of Canaan. So God sends, through Moses, he sends 12 spies to go see what the future is going to hold. And when they go there, they see so many awesome, wonderful things when they're there. Joshua and Caleb, they actually bring back huge grapes, and they bring pomegranates, and they say, oh, man, this land is overflowing with milk and honey. It's just awesome. Joshua and Caleb tell the crowd that. And then those two are then kind of usurped by the other 10 spies, commonly known as the 80-20 rule, because there are two people that said, it's awesome there. We got to go. Come on. Let's go take this land. It's going to be easy. In fact, Caleb says, let's go at once and take the land. We can certainly conquer it. Let's go, everybody. Doom. Well, we got to hear from the other 10 spies, don't we, who say there are giants there. They're so huge, we could never conquer them. They're stronger than us. They're bigger than us. We can't possibly go there. In fact, we saw them. They're so huge that we felt like grasshoppers next to them. We can't go. And Caleb says, well, don't rebel against the Lord. He wouldn't have shown you this if it wasn't possible that God will make it happen. And so he says, they're helpless against us. Our God is bigger than those giants. Do you believe that today? Our God is bigger than any giant you face? Anything, no matter what it is, you surely can conquer it? Like that's what Caleb said? Yes. Good, we got the right church here this morning. Wonderful. The last thing he says is, they have no protection. The Lord is with us. If the Lord is with us, we can conquer anything, right? Yes, correct. Beautiful. Don't be afraid of them. And so here's what the rest of the community said, all those hundreds of thousands of people. Let's stone Joshua and Caleb. That was the answer to having, when somebody is trying to be positive and putting it out there that God is great and God is wonderful, the crowd responded, the 80% of the other people, they said, we can't go there. It's too big. It's too much. Let's get rid of Joshua and Caleb. I know. Isn't that awful? Terrible. I know you wouldn't. Yes. I think I got a little Joshua sitting in the front row over here. At the end of this, God says to Joshua and Caleb, I will make you into a great nation. Essentially, the 2 people, God was going to still make into a great nation. The other 80%, what do you guess they get to do? Spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Yep. That's what happens in Numbers. And then we get to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. Guess what happens? They actually go into this promised land, don't they? After what happens? After those 40 years, all of those people that were naysayers, that were doubters, that were afraid and didn't want to go, got to stay behind. In fact, that whole generation pretty much dies off. That's exactly what happens to someone who's negative and won't follow God. So just a little hint there. I don't want to scare anybody or anything, but So we're going to pick up the story in Joshua 14, beginning at verse 6. A delegation from the tribe of Judah, led by Caleb, came to Joshua at Gilgal. Caleb said to Joshua, "Remember what the Lord said to Moses when we were at Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from there to explore the land of Canaan." He was 40 years old when he went out and spied the land and said how wonderful and awesome it was. "I returned and gave an honest, positive report. But," bad but in the Bible, "my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land." You see what happens with crowds? You see what happens with the average everyday 80 percenters that are out there trying to tell us all how bad things are and how things won't work and how they're constantly complaining, grumbling, and they're naysayers? Nobody here knows anybody like that, because we're the 10%, right, that are the positive, the 20% that are the positives, right? Sometimes it is 1 out of 10, to be honest, but anyway. "For my part," this is Caleb, "I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God." Oh, and by the way, Caleb's name meant wholehearted. There's something about a name, right? "So that day, Moses solemnly promised me the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and all your descendants forevermore because you wholeheartedly follow the Lord my God." That's what Moses promised to Caleb. "Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised for all these 45 years later." That makes Caleb 85 years old. Yeah, slightly older than me and you. Yeah. Anybody here ever waited 45 years for something? Some of you aren't even 45 years old yet, are you? But here's what he says. "The Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised, as he promised. For all these 45 years, since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness." Here's Israel, those other 80 percenters, right? They're wandering in the wilderness. Where's Caleb? In the wilderness with them, right? But what's happened to Caleb while he's wandering in the wilderness, while he's waiting for this promise to be unfolded and to be revealed and to be fulfilled? What is he doing while he's there? What kind of a waiter is he? Well, he's wholeheartedly serving the Lord. Same wilderness experience, negative if you want to look at it that way, right? Anybody love the wilderness? Nobody. Okay. Same wilderness, different reaction, different perspective, different time spending with God, different attitude. Still waiting to get to the promised land, believing he would have it, right? He knew God's promise would be true? Yes? Do you believe God's promises are true? All right, very good. So far, you guys are really good on it this morning. This is awesome. He was praising, he was worshiping, and he was serving God wholeheartedly, his whole heart. And the word whole in this particular case, from the Hebrew, means to be overflowing. When they crossed the Jordan, as Joshua did previously to this, the banks were overflowing. Remember that? Overflowing, overflowing. This is what the word whole means in this case. So Caleb's heart was overflowing with love for God. How many of us have that kind of wholehearted worship and love for God? Okay, good, all right. Some hands are going up. I see Facebook, click, 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 lots of likes. Beautiful, nice. So while they're all together in the wilderness for those 45 years, Caleb wholeheartedly still did the everyday thing of worshiping and serving God. perhaps trying to still drum up some positivity amongst the rest of the crowd, right? Trying to reach those 80% and say, come on, turn your eyes on God. Forget about the problem that you're in. Let's look at the future. The future is always bright. God's in the past, God's in the present, God's in the future, and our future is bright, right? Right. He says this, today I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. It is amazing. Right. Can you imagine, anybody here that's been 40 before, and some of us are getting closer to 85, are you just as strong now as you were then? How about spiritually speaking? More so, I hope, right? See, you know, Caleb, the reason he feels physically strong, and it's because all those 45 years while he was waiting in the wilderness, he wasn't just sitting there waiting and moaning and groaning and whining and pining and complaining, why am I in the wilderness? I'm in the wilderness. I hate the wilderness. He was instead worshiping and serving God. He was loving God and waiting for the day. He was just, every day he probably woke up and said, is today today? Is today today? Is this today? I'm going? Are we going into the promised land today? Is it today? Is it today? 45 years he did that. Every day awaiting on God. And while he was waiting, he was serving God. He was living his purpose in the waiting. See, if we're so focused only on the outcome, only on the promised land, we lose our now, don't we? If we're always waiting for a future blessing and waiting for it to come, or waiting for a healing or whatever we're waiting for, if we're not serving in them while we're in the waiting, we're wasting our time, are we not? We're wasting away, aren't we, spiritually speaking? But let's be more like Caleb. While he's waiting, he's worshiping. He's working for God. He's serving God. He's probably watering the people, feeding the people. Who knows what he was doing, right? But he wasn't sitting and commiserating and just being in that place of misery like the rest of the people that were, the 80 percenters. And he's like still just as strong spiritually, and he's still just as motivated to serve God. He's still just as passionate about God as he was when he was 40, now that he's 85. I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So, verse 12. So give me the hill country. Give me the mountain. I don't need the plane. I don't need the easy walk. Don't just give me my easy. I'm not into phasing off into retirement at 85. No, I want the mountaintop. The mountain. The highest spiritual experience. I want to grow more. Even though I'm 85, I got more to do for God, right? Even if I'm 14, I got more to do for God, right? Even if I'm 3 for God, I got more to do for God. Even if I'm 99, I got more to do for God, right? Wholeheartedly, the whole heart, overflowing love for God and for people. You will remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there in great walled towns, those giants. That's what an Anak meant. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land just as the Lord said I would. I can and I will. What I love about Caleb, in the beginning, never gave, thank you. Never gave up. I wasn't going to say that, but thank you anyway. What I love about Caleb, his attitude, right, at 40 was the same at 85, wasn't it? He always looked on the bright side. He always looked at the positives. He always looked at what good was going to happen. He always believed in God, that God would see him through and he could conquer anything. Whether his age didn't matter, his place didn't matter, whether he's in the wilderness or on top of the mountain, he knew he could conquer and be victorious. How many of you this morning have that same attitude? Okay, beautiful. All right. Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes. So Joshua, only one more thing about Caleb. Joshua became the leader. Caleb didn't. What I love about Caleb, what we learn in him, about him, is his attitude and his character through these scriptures. He didn't care that Joshua was the leader and he was below him, so to speak. He didn't care about that. All he cared was he was a part of the whole table, of the whole mix, of the whole community, of the whole going forward for God. Wherever God placed him, he was happy where that was, as long as he was there with God. Moving on. Amen. Thank you. So Joshua blessed Caleb and gave Hebron to him as his portion of land. Hebron still belongs to the descendants of Caleb because Caleb wholeheartedly followed the Lord. Hebron. Let me tell you a little bit about Hebron. Hebron was the place that Abraham worshiped God. Hebron was the place that David was anointed king. Hebron was the place that Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Isaac, and Sarah were buried on that mountaintop. Those are the people that we see that made that holy place, that Hebron, that special mountain where God was, and they stayed there as a holy place. This is the place that God gave Caleb because it was holy, set apart. Because why? Caleb wholeheartedly served the Lord. Previously, Hebron had been named Kiriath Arba. It had been named after Arba, a great hero, the descendants of Anak, the giant. And now it gets named Hebron, the mountain of God, the city of refuge. It becomes one of the cities of refuge. It also was known as the city of giants previously to that. But now it's a city of refuge, a place where people could go and find forgiveness. Even if they committed murder, as it's read in the scriptures, you could get to a city of refuge and be forgiven. And we know of Mount Calvary, don't we? Golgotha, just like Hebron, a place where God's spirit is, the top of the mountain where forgiveness is, shown to all the world. And the land had rest from war. This is where Caleb ends up in the story. Pretty good place to end up, isn't it? In the promised land, even if it was 45 years later. So let's talk about Caleb and his character. Because when we learn and read in Scripture, so often the people that are in Scripture are representatives of Jesus Christ. Precursors. A foreshadowing. First of all, Caleb was someone who believed and wholeheartedly served God, such that he was willing to be stoned to death if necessary to stand up for God. Willing to sacrifice himself for the good of all the people, even those 80%ers who didn't believe in getting to the promised land. Caleb was somebody just like Jesus who was willing to call those to him and say, let's go to the promised land. Let's go to a better future. Let's go on this spiritual journey together. That's who Caleb was. He came out of the wilderness unscathed. In fact, he probably came out even more powerful than when he went in. So if you ever get into a wilderness experience, nobody here is going through anything like that, but if you happen to, wholeheartedly continue to worship God. Wholeheartedly continue to serve God. Wholeheartedly keep your mind and heart on God. Forget about the promise. Live in the moment. His character never changed. The 80% that were around him didn't change his perspective, did it? He didn't become like the rest of the crowd, did he? He stood out above them. That's what we as a church will continue to do. We're surrounded by things around us that go on all the time. But we keep our focus on God. We keep our focus on serving God. We keep our focus on serving people. We keep our focus on helping others come from a place of wilderness to the promised land of having eternal life in Christ and serving God in the process. His viewpoint never changed. Anybody here in the room that's a little negative sometimes? Can we change your viewpoint today, possibly?
Amen.
Through prayer? You willing to change it this morning to ask God to change your viewpoint? Can the glass become overflowing instead of half empty or half full? How about overflowing in your mindset that God is greater than any problem you face? That God, those giants that you think are around your life or around you, they have no power over you, and you with God can conquer anything and everything. And can you have a mind that Caleb had that says, I don't want the easy path in life. I want to climb that mountain. I want to grow spiritually. I want to be challenged for greater things. And guess what? People are going to be challenging, aren't they, in all of our lives? Will you become this morning a 20%er? How about if we had 80% of the church, only 80 of the church that was positive? What could we accomplish together? So for those of you that, can I see the I cans in here? I cans, I can, okay? So, oh, we're getting, okay, I think I can. And out there on Facebook, with God all things are possible, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God says we can do it, it can be done. It might seem impossible, but we got mountains to climb, and we're going to be able to do so together. I don't want to stay in the wilderness. I don't know about you. I don't want to die off doing nothing. I don't want to be stuck in the same place. I want to go forward. I want to go up. I want a church to grow. I want it to climb. I want it to reach thousands Amen. And thousands of millions of billions of people if we can. I want us Amen. To serve the hungry, take care of the orphans, take care of the widows, take care of those that are lost, those with addictions. I want people to be set free and climb the mountain with us. But we need 80% of you. Oh, wait, I forgot. If you had 80% that were kind of on the negative originally, we flipped those. We had 20% that were positive before. Guess what we now have?
100%.
100%. Whoa, we did it, church. We're moving on. We're moving up. We're serving constantly. Nothing's going to stop us. Nothing ever will, because God is on our side. Amen. There's no giant that's bigger than our God. That giant becomes a grasshopper. Not that I want to kill a grasshopper, but I want to, you know, I love grasshoppers. But, yes. But here's the thing. We're the giants in the story. When you have giant faith, that's what Caleb and Joshua had, right? Their belief and their trust in God was so overflowing that nothing could stop them, and nothing did. And God rewarded them richly. They got double the amount of property that the rest of the people did. And those other people, I'm sorry, they were left behind. But we're not them, are we? Who are we? We're the I cans. We're the I cans, right? All we need is courage. Where does courage come from? It comes from faith. It comes from trust in God. When you wholeheartedly, with all your entire life, trust God to do anything and everything, yes, you have courage to do those things, like climbing mountains and moving on to something greater. So the story of Caleb is the story of Christ the Cornerstone. I want to tell you that. When this church first opened, people said we'd never make it. What could a group of those people do? We did everything. We continue to do everything because God is here. God is in it. And we wholeheartedly serve God together, do we not? Because we're the I can. Amen? Amen.
Amen.